Welcome to Spark TO. Meet the speakers who are sparking conversation at Spark the Change Toronto. So hello, everybody, and welcome to Spark the Change Toronto. This is our podcast, Spark TO, where we invite our delightful speakers to come on and tease you a little bit about what's coming up in June. This year, we are Spark number 5 this year, which is just crazy pants, and we are June 13th and 14th at the Ontario Science Centre again. And I am so excited to welcome Marcella Arteaga. That's the as fancy as I get. Who is going to be discussing a really interesting topic, which we'll get into in a second. But welcome, Marcella.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. I'm really delighted to be here and to hear that we are now in the fifth Spark the Change. It's amazing. I'm so happy to be part of it.
Isn't that, so here's the interesting thing is that we only started offering the podcast a couple of years ago. And we were a little late to the party this year for a variety of reasons. And last week, Marcella and I were at an event, and I'm walking in, and I look, and I'm thinking, she looks familiar, and that's because Marcella was at Spark last year. I'm like, I wonder, it is. And so I grabbed Marcella, and we were on our way into Collision in Toronto, and that's what we picked today, which was awesome. And so here we are. So it's amazing how these little connections end up happening.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to kick off by reading your topic description, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how you came to be in Agile and change and all that kind of good stuff. And I have to put my spectacles on because women of a certain age have to look smarter. So Marcella's going to be joining us on June 13th, and she's our after-lunch speaker. And so this, you are one of the reasons that we focus on having an extremely healthy, low-carb lunch, because there's nothing worse than going and having like a pasta sandwich, whatever awful lunch, and then having to sit in a room and listen to these great speakers, and you can just feel yourself going into the carb coma. So very excellent. Healthy food, so that Marcella gets your undivided attention.
Very appreciated. Thank you.
No problem. So Marcella's topic is, let's talk about the elephant in the room. And she has a really cool t-shirt as well to go with that, which is awesome. They say that you can only change the world one room at a time. Which room, do you ask? The one you're in. There is often an elephant in the room, even in the one you want to change. In this interconnected, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world, the number of elephants and organizations seems to multiply every day. When there is an elephant in the room, the first thing we need to do is acknowledge it. Then we need to build the capacity in the organization to discuss the undiscussable. That sounds really intriguing. Very born identity. We, human system interveners, have different tools at our disposal, but the most important one is ourselves. During this session, we will talk about the use of self as an instrument of change, which is awesome, and how to have the presence and the qualities of a human system intervener, which I haven't heard that before, and how to build trust in your environment. This talk is a great way to address the founding themes of Spark. A skilled human system intervener addresses the issues that hinder the organization, helping its members to increase their awareness of the organizational issues and to be more effective when dealing with them. By building capacity in the organization, we unleash the potential of all its members, not only as individuals, but also as a system. After more than 10 years doing this type of work, we can corroborate that there is nothing as disruptive as a team that brings their best self to work. The topics we will cover are discussing the undiscussable. That's kind of like, you know, did you fart in the elevator is what comes up for me. But anyway, the self as an instrument of change. How to develop ourselves as instruments of change. We know that the number one reason why change management efforts fail is the lack of change leadership skills in the organization. We want participants to be aware of the most important instrument of change is themselves and how they can continue their learning journey. That's going to be a jam-packed. Are you 45 yes. minutes? You are.
I am 45 minutes. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'll use every single one of those minutes, I'm sure.
But the excellent thing is all of these things, and this is one of the things we try and achieve at Spark, is that people can come in and listen to what you're going to say, and you've got the lessons defined in advance. And I think this is going to be an awesome eye-opener for people as to how simple it can be to use communication as the tool to facilitate change in an organization. So tell me a little bit about how you came to wanting to talk about the elephant in the room.
Well, the elephant in the room is an initiative that I created, I guess, some months ago, maybe like 6-8 months ago, as a result of the work that I do in an organization. So I work for York University. My full-time job is that one. And I have been working with different companies, different organizations as well. So over the last, let's say 15 and more years.
So you started when you were 12?
Of course. Yes. So I started working with different organizations. And one of my first jobs was change management in a very large, extremely large, 70,000 employees organization in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So we had the implementation of a large HRSAP initiative. And there were so many things that I saw there, so many processes that could have been developed or implemented in a certain way that weren't necessarily the topics. And sometimes we had very good change plans, for example, that were pretty much derailed by other things going on. The culture, power imbalances, power clashes, personality issues. So there were so many things going on there that I was really surprised. I said, you know what, at the end of the day, you might have an amazing project plan, an amazing change management plan, mm-hmm. but if there are so many other things going on at the same time in the room, you won't change anything. Or you will need to have a lot of, you know, power, a lot of authority vested on that. You will need to do some things in a totally different way. So over the years, I have been working in different areas, mostly change management, learning and development, organizational development. My work here at York has allowed me to, I guess, compress or find the better, better packages of information that are related to strategic conversations or that are related to leadership development or mm-hmm. that are related to team interventions that allow me to help use myself as an instrument of change to help them move
team
forward.
Interventions, that's a frightening concept right there.
Yeah, well, we, you know, the human systems intervention thing, I don't know if you know, but this is the title of our master's program. So some people in Concordia, in Montreal, have gone through this program. And last year, actually, this is how I came to Spark the Change. I found it because I have been in change management for a while. And I found that one of my classmates, we were in the same cohort, but she was also a graduate from the program, was talking there. Tracy Peaver was talking last year.
Oh!
So she is
Tracy was one of our speakers.
Yes. So she is also a human systems intervener. Jonathan Brownstein in Montreal is another one. Mm-hmm. So this is a kind of a different approach, I would say. So this is not change management. This is using yourself as an instrument of change. Being there, observing what is going on, being present with the team, mm-hmm. understanding or having some understanding, making sense. I wouldn't say necessarily that you will ever able to fully understand what is going on because you are not necessarily part of that team. So getting some idea, making sense of that, diagnosing pieces here and there, putting the pieces together, and then intervening. And most of the time is intervening with your own personal skills, let's say. It's not necessarily that you will create a plan and do A, B, and C. Sometimes it's just saying the right thing at the right time or asking the right and sometimes difficult question at the right time. So this is pretty much the topic of using yourself as an instrument of change, pretty much.
Really valid point, though, is that when you're not, because it's two-sided, when you're not a direct member of the team, it affords you the advantage of having an unbiased view. It affords you the advantage of being impartial to what's been going on, right? So because you haven't, if there is conflict mm-hmm. and you're having to do an intervention with the team, you haven't been a part of that. So yes. There's nothing that's being directed towards you that could get in the way of them listening to the message. Because I think when you try and fix team issues or authority issues or what have you, and you do it internally, people already have had an experience with you that is clouding their ability to process the message, that is getting in the way potentially of them wanting to change. And they either ignore it and it becomes that elephant in the room, or you have somebody come in and say, hey, you have a big ass elephant. and let's talk about that for a second. And you can't ignore it anymore because you don't have anything to gain by ignoring it. And you don't have anything to gain by pointing it out and making them do something about it, other than being that instrument of, right? Like, there's no ulterior motive.
Yeah. And one of the things that we go through in our training is to really understand how to see ourselves, you know, from a kind of a different perspective. So we learn to observe ourselves and observe the team. We know that we will collude with our client at some point, but we need to be aware of when. So most of the process that we have there is an experiential learning process, and there is a lot of reflection. So we need to come back and forth all the time to notice what we are seeing in a group session, but also to notice how we are reacting and why. And we have built, I mean, our faculty has built this in different ways in overall the 2 years of our masters, into understanding, or helping us understand mostly, when are we triggered, why, mm-hmm. how are we reacting, how does that sit, what do we do, how do we help the team to move forward. It's not about us, but we will be immersed in the situation as well. So we need to really understand what is going on there.
So I wonder if that ability to be the reflector and to take the team through that reflective exercise allows for a greater opportunity for clarity. Because when you are knee-deep in something, it can be really hard to kind of step back and go, wait a second, is this actually what's happening, or is this the story I'm telling myself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It is key.
So what's ended up then? So this is a relatively new program for you, the elephant in the room. You were saying that it's about 6 months ago. And so that's been born out of the 15 years that you've been going into organizations and seeing what happens when the elephant is ignored. Mm-hmm. So that's a real stuttering way of saying, can we talk about a situation where you walked in and sort of immediately saw the elephant, and it turned out positively when you were able to go, hey, so let's reflect on the fact that the leaders in this organization are being kind of dictatorial, and that's impacting the organization this way. Have you ever run into something like that and then had a positive?
Yeah, I have run into a similar situation. So at some point I was helping someone to do a strategic plan, and it was a senior leadership team, and it was a large client group, let's say. So they were about, like, I guess 100, and there were four senior leaders in the room. And they were talking constantly about how they want to be a very collaborative, they want this process to be a very collaborative one. Mm-hmm. They were engaging everyone. They really wanted to make sure that everyone felt heard. But at the same time, there were only these four people in the room planning everything.
Yeah.
And then they had a couple of situations where they would say some things, the language they would use. They would talk about sharing this information with each other, with other people, telling them what to do, bringing the vision to them. And I said, well, okay, so can I say something here? It seems to me that on one hand, you are acknowledging the importance of a collaborative process, a very kind of a grassroots movement, and the way that you described your culture is as if you want to be. You know, really, all of them are equal. There is a lot of cooperation and collaboration because we all like each other and the culture and whatever. But on the other side, I'm seeing you guys, and we have been on this process. Like, I mean, for sure, there is a moment when you have the design team where people discuss what are the steps and whatever, and you can, depending on how flexible and collaborative and comfortable with the unknown the organization is, and you can totally have the two extremes, right? You can have people that design this process and then invite the rest of the people to join them. Or you can just say, you know what, let's have an open space type of session, totally an on-conference, and everyone is going to come and share and ask, and we are only, you know, going to work with whatever happens here. So I said, well, it seems to me that you guys, even right now, we have had, I guess, 4 or 5 sessions where you kept consistently talking about whatever you guys need, whatever you guys want. So maybe this is the reason why we have employee engagement issues, because there are kind of, you know, different from what
it's
you would expect.
It's the talking versus the reality of what they're actually, so the talking versus the, and I just, and I, so if you're listening to the podcast versus watching Marcella and I have been trying to not roll my eyes too much because very unsuccessfully. Because I have been in so many situations as a medical office manager, as an employee of a, as an employee period, where you hear all this nonsense spouted about how we're working with you to do what, that's like, that's horseshit. You know, you're giving us a little pat on the back and you're saying, we want to listen to what you have to say. Well, you want to listen and that's awesome, but then you're going to completely ignore what we have to say.
Because and I have just wasted my time.
So now you have decreased my buy-in exponentially to whatever you're going to inflict upon me when this is all said and done. And I've had that happen so many times. And I'm in the process of building a team for a project I'm working on, and it's a long-term project. And I value people like yourself so much. And my experience with Spark, because it's through getting to talk to smart ladies like you and the smart gents that we have on that my team hopefully will not suck. And hopefully my employees will not be going, oh my God, here she goes again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I just, there's a better way.
And the worst thing is what I was telling another person at some point is we are all very kind and we don't tell you, but we notice right away. Like we see right through you. We just try to be kind and say,
the whole emperor's
I'm not going
clothes.
To call them on their shit. We notice, we know.
So here's that. So that can lead us into the next session because the one or section of this, because the one thing I'm just watching our timer here. The one thing I have always struggled with, and I'm sure that I cannot be alone, having known Jason now for 7 years, I cannot be alone in how. So you as a professional and a consultant and you know all of these things can go into an organization and you are able to call bullshit a little easier than an employee. However, not every organization is opening to have somebody as fabulous as yourself come in. So how could an employee, which hopefully is, you know, what we're going to get out of Spark a little bit with you, is what are some politically correct ways that an employee could say, so this elephant keeps crapping in the room.
Well, one of the first things that we learn, I guess, in our masters is to pretty much introduce the elephant in the room. If you're able to say, it seems to me that we are not all of us in agreement.
It seems to me.
It's like, I might be wrong, but let me tell you. I mean, for sure, us being internal consultants here at the university or external consultant with my clients imply that I need to make sure I recontract at some point. I don't want to keep, and this is something that human system interveners don't want, I don't want to keep coming over and over and over to do the same freaking intervention. Like, I don't want to deal with employee engagement in the same way every single time with the same team. Yeah. Like, are they even listening to me? But I want to help them develop some of the skills. And one of the first things that you learn when you are not part of the team is you need to recontract. So it seems to me
recontract.
Like, I cannot just do whatever I wanted to do. I just cannot risk my relationship with the client. I need to prove A, that I'm useful, B, that I'm kind, that I'm not making them lose face. And this is another important concept that we all have this social contract to uphold. So I don't want them to feel attacked, or I don't want them to feel embarrassed by whatever I say. So it seems to me that you are proposing this project, this initiative, this whatever in this way, but we have a conflicting goal. We are also wanting to do something else. Like, you help them see the contrast. and contrast and polarities, I would say, is something that happens all the time in our teams. Mm-hmm. We are full of paradoxes. But there are moments when those paradoxes cannot keep going. So you need to say, hey, it seems to me that there is a little bit of a contradiction here. Which one is it, pretty much? So I would say I need a little bit more clarity. Could you help me with this?
Right.
I think asking questions, asking polite but also pointed questions, is a really good way of sharing a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Light, I'm taking notes. Bringing. That's why I can't.
Of course. I have been thinking that I will start writing a little bit more on my blog, and I have a lot of draft posts there, and I will start, you know, posting them soon, because I find, at least that was my experience. So when I started working in 1996, I was a very outspoken, direct, driven, no bullshit type of person.
I do not know what it's like to be like that.
I know. I'm preaching to the choir here. So I cannot tell you how many times I got into trouble because of that. So I want just people that are, especially people that are like me, that have no, I don't
filter?
Know, filter at all, and no, I guess no sense of danger or, I don't know, survival instinct or something.
I may or may not have received that feedback on occasion that my filter was somewhat askew.
Yes, I hear you. So for people like us without survival instinct, it's important to give them some tools that are very practical that they can apply without feeling betraying, they are betraying themselves. So yeah. I want people to know, yes, I have noticed this dissonance or this paradox. I'm allowing you to save face, but let's address the elephant in the room. And that's actually how the elephant in the room came to be. Because at some point I was frustrated with something and I said, well, the problem here is the elephant in the room. We all know, we all notice, we know that this is not going to work, but we are here pretending. And I don't know you, but I'm tired of wasting my time and other people's time. I think time is really valuable and we need to really address things that are holding us back.
So that makes me think. So if you are a person, because you made a valid point at the very beginning that sometimes authority and leadership and ego can kind of get in the way of the talk versus the reality of planning and implementing and what have you. And, oh, I was going somewhere with that and it was going to be really good.
Authority.
No, it'll come back to me.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's about not bruising the ego and it's about being empathetic to the situation and it's about creating a situation where everybody feels validated. And we get back to, and that's one that's been consistent across, you know, Marsha and Jen and Selena and now you, is that it's the way we communicate and it's the way we get our message across and it's being respectful without being wishy-washy. Because I think that, so that's what it was. It was the cost. So it's the cost to the organization of repeatedly having to have somebody come in and intervene because the lack of structured communication and the lack of acknowledging the elephant becomes really expensive.
Absolutely, your
team can't move forward, or you're creating risk within the organization in a variety of places. There's so many, you know, if you were to look at an organizational chart of the impact, the negative impact of not having these conversations or not having a culture that's built in to say, okay, it's okay if you come and talk to me about the elephant. I'm not going to, you know, stick you in with the lion if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then creating that situation where that's a fundamental right, if you will, of employees to approach leaders and go, hey, here's what you said was going to happen. Here's what the plan I think was supposed to be. And we appear to have gotten a little off of center here. So
absolutely.
How do we fix that?
I think there are so many things that are going on there. So one of them is for sure, we won't get any result. Second, we will have employee disengagement and we might go from slightly disengaged to totally skeptical and against the organization.
Potentially dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, some people might leave, but some people might not. And they will make your life hell there.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes part of the culture. It becomes like ingrained. It's part of the values we have, that we know that we have a set of values that we expose on it. printed and, you know, posted there in the boardroom, but we do things in a different way. And we also become inefficient in all our processes. We don't care about the customers. We don't care about internal customers. So there are so many losses there. There are so many issues there that we need to address. And someone has to be brave enough to say, I'm sorry, can I say just this? And again, we don't have all the answers. Like when you start learning a little bit of complexity and systems thinking, you understand that you're standing in one place and you have a limited view of things. Sometimes I might not know what else is going on. I don't know what the leaders are dealing with, for sure. But we need to address that as well. And we need to say, well, sometimes, and this is something that we try to do as OD consultants here at the university, we try to say, hey, I understand how difficult it is to be a leader, and how the important part that was there in my blurb is we are living very difficult and turbulent times. This time, interconnected, very volatile, extremely volatile, uncertain. We don't know where things are going. Like, what is going to happen there?
Doug Ford, he's just.
I know. Complex. We move one thing and so many other things are impacted by that, and ambiguous. Yeah. Sometimes we don't even know, like, I do this, but it needs to be in retrospective to see, okay, what was the impact? Because right now we only have some news and we don't even know what it means. So I understand where leaders are coming from, and I understand how challenging it is. Now, because everyone has just a limited view of things, we need to have better conversations. We need to share a little bit. I know that my leaders here at the university know something, but I know something. Everyone has a different piece. And that's why I like the metaphor of the elephant as well, because that elephant in the room is in a dark room. You feel the trunk or you feel the ears, and everyone is feeling something else. And we need to come and, you know, put those pieces together and say, okay, so from my perspective, this is what I'm sensing.
Stay away from the butt, though. I'm just saying.
There are places that are very dangerous, but on the other hand, I mean, there is also a positive side to that as well. You know, you have
some
manure that is going to help things grow.
And that's the most difficult part of the situation, is touching the butts.
Yes. Everything has a, you know, a pro and a con, and we just need to be aware. Like, not everything, again, the polarities come again to my mind. Not everything is as perfect or as good as it seems. And especially in these iVUCA times, God, for sure, nothing is what it seems.
Ay, chihuahua. Well, you got me thinking about there as well, because the one thing I've noticed with a few managers that should not have been in the position they were in is that they have ownership of the plan, and not in a way to move it forward, but in an ego-driven, this is my plan and it's going to go forward as is, because this is my plan, and it's all that my me language. Mm-hmm. That gets in the way of execution, because if you own it so tightly that you can't, like you mentioned here, the limited view. So I think the tighter you hold on to the plan and the more you make it about me and I and ego, it further limits your view and then precludes conversations with people who could have opposing views. But opposing views lead to innovation and conversation and ideas and positive things. I don't do well with people who have such a tight grip on the tail that they can't see, you know, the legs coming up to kick them. And at that point, I usually just kind of go, all right, we're going to do it your way.
Go ahead.
And when that big pile of crap falls on your head, I am likely going to point and laugh, and then I will help you clean it up.
Yeah,
that's
the reason why in our leadership development sessions, we offer something that ties, I would say, complexity. So we help them through practical exercises. We help leaders and all the participants in the room to understand that, again, this, you have a limited view of something and everything else is kind of a big unknown to you. If we kind of come together and put pieces together, we might get somewhere. But the more in contact they are with their own ignorance, and this is one of Edgar Schein's principle of being a human systems intervener, access your ignorance. When we are able to say, you know what, I'm not really sure. I mean, this is what I know, but the rest, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
We are able to, you know, engage other people and invite them to come and really collaborate, because whatever they know is a very valid point. Edgar Schein has another amazing book, a couple of books, on humble consulting and humble leadership. And he says exactly that. I mean, this is where I learned from.
Absolutely. As you mentioned books, I get really excited. So.
those are amazing books, and those are the principles he says. You know something, but you're limited. Everyone else knows something, and whatever they know is as valid as what you know.
Well, that's Eckhart Tolle. Eckhart Tolle comes in with the same. Yes. The one thing that I have always loved, there was a family member who, quite a number of years ago, espoused that you must treat somebody who's wealthier than you nicely just because they're wealthier than you. And I went, so that's not kind of how I roll. I'm more like, if you're an ass, I don't care what you have in the bank. I don't have it in me to be nice to asses. So if I'm at a party and the really rich guy is an ass and the really not rich guy, mailman, like whatever, is a nice guy, I'm going to sit down and break bread with that guy. Because that's just kind of how I roll. That's my core values that run.
I absolutely understand. The only thing I would say is people who are assholes, people who are jerks, they have something that is really painful in them. They are hiding something. They are feeling
insecurity, fear,
insecure, disempowered, whatever. So I also try to be nice and say, you know what, like, I can understand where you're coming from, because I myself, I have come from those places as well. Yeah. Dark places as well.
Yeah, I haven't yet. So.
So like, yeah, I understand. Not that I'm going to deal with this or I want to submit myself to this treatment, but
yeah,
I understand where you're coming from.
I agree. I would never walk away from anybody. So I'll clarify that statement in that I would never walk away from anybody or be rude. However, being nice to somebody or them expecting me to be nice to them just because of their position in society or what have you, never gonna happen. It's just, you know, unless it's the queen, because I'm a monarchist. So if the queen shows up, I am dropping a knee and I'm going to do whatever she tells me to do. But for the most part, I think actions speak louder than anything. And there was
totally
a number of years ago, we were out for a dinner. And one of the people sitting at the table thought he was a lovely person and talking and doing whatever. And then in the middle of the dinner, he does one of these to get a waitress.
Attention. Yeah. And,
ooh, girlfriend. And that was sort of his attitude for the rest of the meal was,
oh, God.
I was like, oh, dude, like, we're so done. Like, I can't even tell you what you just did as far as my ability to relate to you and what have you, because that is just a fundamental disrespect of Absolutely. The hard work that is making our evening enjoyable. And I no can do.
Absolutely. I hear you.
Yeah. So one of the things that I'm taking out of this, we just got a couple more minutes left and then we have to skedaddle, but you know, going back to the thing we mentioned before about feeling the trunk and feeling the ears and the feet and the whatever and all those pieces. And I think ultimately it comes down to having leaders recognize that all of those pieces together is much stronger for the organization as a whole, be it an idea, be it an act, you know, whatever it is, versus that tight ownership and not having the ability to let go and involve people in. And not just say you're going to involve people, but actually involve people and talking with them, not at them, to achieve a better, stronger, longer outcome than what you could otherwise.
So, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right on.
Woo-hoo! Sometimes I listen. As my husband would tell anybody, it's not often, but sometimes.
So we need to feel blessed by that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm getting back. You know, it's my birthday next week. I'm getting older. I have to, at some point, figure out that shutting my bush is a good idea. Opening my big elephant ears. So I'm just going to pause that so it doesn't beep at me. So we have to wrap up. But this, when we've covered, like, I don't know if anybody.
Wow.
I know. So you made a lot of smarticle particle, you know, statements here, and I know you were looking for some inspiration. So.
Yeah, I'll need a copy of that.
Marcella has not written her topper.
Of course not. I like to say that I live in the present.
Yes.
I hope that I will have it done. I don't know, maybe the 3rd or the 5th of June. It will be enough.
You know what? Here's the funny thing is that sometimes the best conversations, the best talks, the best engagement. I was an instructor for 2 years. I taught medical office administration. So I was teaching anatomy, physiology, pharmacology, all that kind of stuff.
Whoa.
and it's fun. And I would say that some of the best conversations and learning moments that I and my students had was things that I hadn't prepared, right? So you know Absolutely. Your stuff after 15 years and after whatever, whatever. I have no doubt that you could show up with a sticky note and go off for 45 minutes and everybody yeah. would get, you know, value, because that would be, I would guess that that's a core driver for you, that providing value and being that servant leader and what have you. So
I know. I'm hoping that my ability to be present and ask them, I mean, I tend to ask, I don't know if I will be able to do this at this time, but I tend to ask and say, okay, so what do you guys want to learn today? Like, if I had a magic wand and I could give you anything except yeah. for money, what would
we can do that have? Ahead of time. We will talk. So we're going to sign off shortly, but you and I will talk for a minute, because there is a way we can facilitate that.
So. Okay, that sounds good. But for sure, I mean, I'll prepare something that everyone feels comfortable with and say, yeah. you know, this addresses my main objectives. But at the end of the day, if the conversation needs to be in a different space.
Yeah. The universe gets in the way and the universe corrects the tide every single time. So you can have an agenda. I went to deliver a talk a month or two ago, and the audience that I was expecting was not the audience that I walked into. And so I had prepared this. It was all about employment and using your network and yada, yada, yada. And I walked in, and the audience I was going to have, the level I had prepared at, would not have worked for them. It was too high. And so as I'm standing at the back of the room watching the other two ladies talk at the group, I'm noticing a whole whack of superhero symbols across the back. It was like Marvel exploded. And I'm a massive... Jason will tell you, I will probably have my Thor socks on at Spark, but we'll see how it goes. Massive Marvel geek. And so I changed the entire talk to include superheroes and what's your Absolutely. Superpower and all that kind of stuff. So some of those best, but then they were able to relate and they were able yes. to contribute and they were able to get it in such a way that it made sense for how they could move forward with the information. And that's what we look for every year at Spark. And we've never been disappointed.
Yeah. That's the best.
You know, our attendees, our guests, whatever you want to call yourself, always walk away with something. Always. And there's never been a year that we haven't been able to deliver that. And that's a source of pride for all of us, that we always hear back incredible information, easily digestible. And not that it's simple information, but at the end of day two, you're done listening to 13 speakers or more. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
For anybody.
Absolutely.
And it's always done in such a way, like yourself, you're considerate to your audience and considerate to, you know, you can prepare as much as you can prepare, but you can walk in and the room needs an entirely different message that day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's awesome that you're prepared to do that. So you think you're ready to go. You can go tomorrow. No, just kidding. Anyway, everybody. So just a reminder, this is Spark the Change Toronto. This is our opportunity to talk with our amazing speakers who are coming up. I'm going to be interviewing Dave Dame and Mike Edwards shortly. So you'll get to meet them as well. And this is a warning to Dave Dame that if you make me cry this year, I swear to you, I will kick you in the wheelchair. Because honestly, which is a joke between Dave and I don't abuse people. It's all good.
Anymore.
Well, anymore. Okay, so now I'm going to have to explain that a little bit. But so the first year that Dave Dame came to Spark, so Dave has cerebral palsy. He is an ass-kicking guy. Like, nothing slows this guy down. And so we had to make some accommodations for the wheelchair just to make sure that he and his, you know, aide were able to do whatever. And I figured this is a grown-ass man. This is not the first time he has traveled in a wheelchair, and this is not his first encounter with his CP. So he knows what he's doing. And so we were talking back and forth, and I said something to him. And he says, something tells me I just need to do what you say. I said, what do you mean? He's like, I get the feeling if I don't do what you say, you're going to kick me in the junk. And I said, face didn't change. I said, Dave, why would I try and kick you in the junk? My foot's going to hit your wheelchair. I'm going to hurt my foot.
Yeah. And he lost it.
Lost it. So yes, so I do not kick people in any part of their anatomy.
Good.
Unless they really need it, and then, you know, it's another story. So tickets are still available. We are 60% sold. We have 2 weeks, which is incredible that it's come this far. We've been planning since, you know, July of last year. The conversation always starts in the middle of Spark of what we can do differently next year. And then we get our attendees feedback and make even more decisions. So check out sparkthechange.ca. That's where all the information is. We also have an extra day with Dr. Jen Fromm, a half-day workshop that's happening in Toronto on the 15th. So you can check out the website for those details. You can also visit, for Marcella, elephantwhisperer.com and get to know what she offers to organizations and her team offers to organizations as far as change and communication and navigating the volatility and the complexity of our current situation for a variety of reasons. Doug Ford. All right, that was a sneeze.
We just call it what it is. That's it.
Yeah, I call anyway. Namaste. So thank you so much for joining me, Marcella. You're going to hang on for a second, but we're going to say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you so much for joining us today on SparkTO, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening, and please visit us at sparkthechangetoronto.ca to learn more, or you can follow us on Twitter at SparkConfTO.